Good morning to each and every one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome, visitors. It's been a blessing being here already. Just thought many of the songs have been ministering to my heart and just fitting to the message the Lord has laid on my heart. So I'm thankful for that and for his presence here this morning already. Before we begin, those of you who can, why don't we kneel for prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we feel our need of you again this morning, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, that you have ministered your presence here in our midst already, Lord. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord, and Lord, we felt that this morning again, and we're thankful. And Lord, we just come before you this morning again and ask, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts in the remainder of this service as we share your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would quicken your word, make it alive, and give unction to it by the Holy Spirit, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would minister to each heart here through the word. You know what each heart needs, and you know what I need, Lord. And we just pray that you have a way of doing this, and we're thankful for that, Lord, that your spirit is able to minister to the hearts of and the needs of each soul. And we just ask that you would do that today. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are not here today, wherever they're at. We ask that you would bless them and Lord, that they would be encouraged and that they would be edified also, Lord. And we think of all those in the world, Lord, who don't have this opportunity that we have. Your word says, remember those that are in bonds, Lord. We realize in other places there are people in bonds because of your name's sake. And we want to remember them this morning, Lord. I pray you bless them, encourage them by your spirit. Speak to their hearts, Lord, as they might be spending this day alone and seeking to have their spirits encouraged and their hearts encouraged. We ask that you be with them. Father, we commit this service into your hand and pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the subject, I guess, the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. I don't know if it's that long of a message this morning. Might be a little bit of a shorter one, but it's sanctification. Just thinking for you visitors here, this past Wednesday evening we had our annual building cleaning where we gather as a congregation to give everything a thorough cleaning. Every corner was gone through, every window got clean, every door, the walls were wiped down, the ceilings, the gutters were clean, the siding was clean, and everything had a thorough cleaning. And so in one sense, you could say that the building was sanctified, right? It was dirt was separated from the building. You walk in this morning, it even had a different smell. It had a clean smell to it. And that's what I just want to talk about. You know, sanctification is used in different ways in the New Testament. You know, one meaning of sanctification means separation unto God, separated unto God. You know, like this building was separated, dirt was separated from it, and everybody pitched in and helped and made light work of it. And, you know, it's also separation of the believer from evil things and ways. It's a separation of the believer from the world in his behavior. The believer who turns away from such things as dishonor God and his gospel. You know, this building here, Wednesday evening, what you could say was sanctified with water, soap, brooms and mops, vacuums, rags, pressure washers. But how are you and I sanctified? And Paul uses that illustration in Ephesians chapter 5 there, a couple verses. He uses this illustration of, he says in verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Then it says, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And so here we see that illustration. Paul uses that illustration, a washing, a water. You know, those are all things that we did Wednesday evening, you know. But here he says it's by the word. It's not with mops and rags and pressure washers, but it's the word of God. It's the as we take the word of God in and let it wash us, it has a sanctifying effect. It has a cleaning effect. As we, you know, some of those songs we sang, when we walk with the Lord, trust and obey. You know, those, we're going to get into some of those verses. Some of those, that's how we are sanctified. And then verse 27 there says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, we were sure to get the spots off the windows. We were sure, and that's what Jesus' desire is, that his word would sanctify us, to get those blemishes, to get those spots. You know, as I've been preparing for the message, you know, I've just been convicted in my own life, you know, that there's still room for sanctification. If we go to John chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. This was Jesus' prayer in John 17:17. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians? By the washing of the water of the word. And then he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And now he says what the truth is. It is his word. This is how we're going to get sanctified. This is how we're going to get cleansed, is by the word, by faith and obedience in the word of God. And then we jump down to verse 19 of John chapter 17. And he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." And so here we see Jesus says, "I sanctify myself." You know, when he came to this world, he separated himself unto God. He did not, we read through the scriptures, we notice that he did not do everything the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everyone did. He totally separated himself unto God. And the word says he did that only which was pleasing in the sight of God. So he separated himself unto God. He sanctified himself. And here's the reason he did it. He says that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That you and I might also be sanctified through the truth. And so God's heart and desire is that we would be sanctified through the truth of his word. You know, a sinner gets converted, born again by the Spirit of God. And God puts a new heart into him or her. And God takes away the guilt and the shame. And then he or she drinks the word of God, which is the truth, and that truth begins to change that person. And that's called sanctification. It's God's word having a sanctifying effect. You know, the truth of God's word begins to polish those rough edges, a little here and a little bit there. You know, when a person gets born again, there's a lot of rough edges. But God's desire is to take that person, like we heard this morning, loving kindness, merciful. That person that just got converted, he's not doesn't know always what those things look like. But as he begins to take in the word of God, God begins to polish that stone up and make it shiny, taking off those things that are that are not pleasing to the Lord. As we read earlier there, or as I shared earlier there, that he begins to change his ways and his behaviors. I know for me, there were things that went that God polished. I used to have a, my tongue wasn't had a foul tongue. You know, sometimes words would come, but you know, it doesn't stop there. When God desires us to go deeper than that as we walk with Him, that the expressions like we heard this morning, that mercy and loving kindness and those things would come forth. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so as we look into a mirror, it says, this, the Word of God is supposed to be a mirror that we can look into. And as I read it, it's reflecting back what and speaking to me. God wants to speak to me through this Word, and that it changes me into the same image of Jesus Christ. It says from glory to glory, glory to glory. There's a progression there, becoming more Christ-like in your life, becoming more like Him every day. And when I think of that in my own heart, that's a challenge. You know, in order for that to happen, there needs to be an openness. There needs to be an honesty. What am I seeing in the mirror? You know, as I look back, I can see myself in the mirror back there. And God wants to show us things. And it's and as I look into the mirror, I see myself. Look back there. You know, everybody turn around right now and look into the mirror. Who are you going to see? You're going to see yourself. You might see other people, but that's what God's words intended to do, is so that you see yourself and where God wants to change you from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Sanctification is God's will for the believer. And also, it must be learned from God. He teaches it by His words. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctification must be pursued by the believer earnestly and undeviatingly. Holy character cannot be transferred or imputed. It is an individual possession, built up little by little, as a result of obedience to the Word of God and of following the example of Christ. You know, as we sang, trust and obey, trust and obey. Sanctification is not something that is imputed or transferred. Like righteousness, as we read the Scriptures, when a born-again believer, when a person gets born again by the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 4 says, God imputes His righteousness on him because he believes upon Him. But sanctification is not transferred or imputed. The Scripture teaches that it is something that is possessed, that is learned and taught by the Word of God through obedience. The Apostle Peter says these words in chapter 1, verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." You know, how have you purified yourselves? It says, in obeying the truth. In obeying the truth, you purify through the Spirit. Again, you know, it's not something we can do of our own selves and our own flesh. It's by, and we're going to see this a little bit later, it's by the Spirit of God dwelling within us and helping us. It's obeying the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So here it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. And again, what's he referring to about these things? I believe if we back up to a couple verses, he's talking about shun profane and vain babblings. These will increase unto more ungodliness. And then he says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And so here you have some men preaching a false doctrines, and you know, and if you purge yourself from these, you know, but you stand on the truth of God's word, it says you're going to be sanctified and prepared for the master's use. How many of you want to be prepared for the master's use? I believe we all raise our hands. We want to be prepared. But, you know, and it comes with sanctification. Sometimes sanctification can be hard things we face. Sometimes, you know, the Lord shows us some hard things. And so, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So here we have these words. You have Paul's telling them, you have received us of us how you ought to walk and how to please God. Then in verse 2, he says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So sanctification is a will of God. This is something you can put into your daily prayers. Lord, sanctify me according to your will, that ye should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This is saying that something that every one of you should know how to do is how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And so he's encouraging you that this is something you should know how to do. You know, we heard this morning about temperance. We heard about, you know, pumping our hands too much, you know, with the spoon and the fork. You know, that's a big one, I believe. The Lord would have us sanctify. Someone shared with me a story on that once. He made a comment. Now he understands why some people pray after they eat. They ask the Lord to forgive them for pumping or eating too much. And so that's shameful, but you know, we need to take those things serious. That's sanctification. I thought of that when Brother Elson shared that. Ephesians 5:26, you know, again, Paul uses that illustration of washing of the water of the word. You know, we put soap in the water to help us clean this building. And I want to say, without the help of the Holy Spirit within us to help us, we probably won't be sanctified. You cannot do it of your flesh. The Holy Spirit is that cleansing agent that helps us to sanctify us. And 1 Peter 1:2 brings this out very clearly. First Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Do you notice that? Sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us unto obedience. That is where the key lies to being sanctified, to grow, to be meet and prepared for the Master's use, is in obeying as the Lord speaks to you in your heart, as you're reading, looking into the mirror, and you see yourself. And now the next step is obedience, and that's when sanctification is effective. That is when sanctification is at work, and it's essential in our lives. Jude also brings out that in verse 1, how this it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So again, here it says we're sanctified by God. It's not, as we, with open hearts, come to His Word and endeavor to and love His Word and believe it and obey it and step forward in faith, God helps us. God gives us the strength. God gives us the power. He gives us the courage to go on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God has chosen. This is the way God has chosen you to experience salvation, is through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then it says, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what is the purpose for sanctification? It's here in verse 14. It says this, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture says we are changed from glory to glory. That's the purpose. God wants you to be sanctified. It says to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when a person is walking in the presence of God, he's obtaining the glory of the Lord, and his presence rests upon him. You know, it's because you can be assured that person is walking in sanctification. He's experiencing true salvation because he's walking by faith. He's walking in obedience to the truth of God's Word. Notice again, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth of God's Word. Why? To obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14 says. Change from glory to glory. There's higher ground. I had to think of Caleb in his old age. He was 80 some years old, and he said, give me this mountain. He chose the hardest object to obtain in his old age. He says, give me this mountain. And so in his old age, so you know, sanctification is not a one-time thing when you first converted. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 2 months, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years. There's more glory of our Lord Jesus Christ to be obtained. It's up to you. There's more glory to be obtained. So I want to encourage you in that, in sanctification, and the reason is to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may stand at His day and in His presence on that last day and hear those words, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Romans 15:16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Gentiles ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And so, yes, it's not just a one-time thing, you know, when you first, you know, some of you have been walking with the Lord 30, 40 years. Some of you just newborn babes. But, you know, sanctification, God wants to continue that process as long as you live. In my character, in my love for the brethren, in my attitude, my forbearance, in my responses, my patience, my long-suffering, everything, in every area of your life. You know, yeah, there's those sinful, horrible things that you put off immediately at conversion, those sinful, wicked things that you put off. But, you know, there's God wants to work on your character. He wants to make your character holy. He wants to, is it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, let's turn there real quick and get that right. But it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, when a person gets born again, you know, a lot of the filthiness of the flesh disappears, but it also says in spirit, your character, your responses and everything you do. If we turn to Philippians chapter 3, we see the Apostle Paul here. I believe this is sanctification here in verse 12. He's not where he wants to be. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So he's saying, I'm not where I want to be. I haven't apprehended. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul's heart. This is his desire for sanctification. He keeps pressing forward. I'm not where I want to be. And that's where I find myself. I'm not where I want to be, but by faith I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. My encouragement today is that you would let God continue to sanctify you. Reach forth to obtain the glory of the Lord. As I shared already, our character, let's reach forth for higher ground. But also, you know, I just encourage you in your outward appearance and walk. You know, I remember the Lord convicting us to sanctify our wardrobe for modesty purposes. And, you know, some of you here were not used to the head covering growing up. And as the Lord began sanctifying you and teaching you, You began to obey, walk in obedience, and you obeyed this truth. And so it goes in every area of life. And so my burden is, you know, I've seen this. You have seen people who were sanctified by God, but after a period of time, 10, 15 years, they start sliding the opposite direction in many of those areas. And their walk and their behavior becomes more like the world. The men start to style their hair instead of a modest haircut, wearing t-shirts instead of modest shirts. And the sisters' head coverings get smaller and smaller. Those things, you know, and sliding back, and eventually they get the same color of the hair and blend in with their hair, and dresses get tighter, and t-shirts and tight sweaters, and all these things, you know, these are also play into the inside starts to come out. And so I just encouraging, my question is, when these things start to slide in that direction is that sanctification. Is that sanctification? Is that obtaining more of the glory of the Lord when you start to reveal more flesh? Is that, it's not obtaining the Lord more of the glory of the Lord. In fact, it's a revealing the glory of the flesh. And so I want to encourage us to stand fast and to walk so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord, as we read there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I also realize that many people look apart and write, and yet there's no life. And people point to that. But regardless of those situations, it still doesn't take away the truth of God's Word. God's Word is still true. It still stands. You can point any direction you want, but we still need to come back to the mirror, look in the mirror, and walk in obedience, to walk in truth. Regardless of the situation, just because some abuse it one way, some abuse it the opposite way, we still need to come back to the mirror. The mirror still points back to me, and it still means that I need to obey. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 there, verse 2, I'm going to read that verse again. Just for a reminder there. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And so, Hebrews 10, I got different scriptures here that I was just going to read. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Says this, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trod under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So here this verse talks about a person who was sanctified, and he hath trodden it all underfoot. He has gone back to his old ways. And it's asking a question, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? And so I just encourage you, this morning to keep looking in the mirror and let God be let God sanctify you through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I've heard people make comments already. You know, like they were sanctified, they walked with the Lord, they walked in obedience, and they made comments. I used to think wrong. God has shown me different. Well, as I read the mirror and look into the mirror, it still says the same thing that it did. It still says it's the same thing they used to say. It still says it's the same thing I still think. And so, you know, it says here, they were sanctified, but they had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And so I want to encourage you this morning to walk in sanctification as the Lord is leading you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And here we see that it is Jesus who is our sanctification. You know, he says in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. In John chapter 1, it says the word was made flesh, became flesh. And so here we see that Jesus Christ, without him, we cannot be sanctified. Back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Says, for both he, that's Jesus, that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And so I want to encourage you, living the Christian life, living the sanctified life, we are one with Christ. You're going to be different from the world. You're going to be completely different than the majority of the world. But notice here, it says that Jesus is not ashamed to call you brethren. So I want you to encourage you with that and remember that. You know, if you're tempted to backslide with, like we read there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, remember that Jesus is, he is not ashamed to call you his brother or his sister as you walk in the sanctified life. Remember that. Remember that all your life, that Jesus is not ashamed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We jump down to verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so, by the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are sanctified. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so, there's an inheritance waiting for those who are sanctified. And we jump over to chapter 26, verse 18. And I want you to notice this verse is basically the same. This verse here is in red. These are the words of Jesus Christ speaking to Paul when he's on the Damascus Road there. Paul sharing his testimony. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So again, here we see an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And that's those two verses I just read in Acts are the opposite of what Hebrews 10:29 says of how much sore punishment shall be those who trod under the those who were sanctified and they trod under the foot the covenant of the blood of Christ. That's the opposite. Here you have inheritance versus punishment. And so I want to encourage you, I'm sharing this message this morning to encourage you to continue in sanctification. It's not you do it today and you're done for the rest of your life. It's a continue step as you seek the Lord, as the Apostle Paul, as you continue to press into the mark of Jesus Christ. Again, sanctification is being set apart by God. As you look at every area of your life, is it being separated unto God? You know, the scripture says that we should examine whether we be in the faith or not. And so, every area of your life, is it being separated unto God? And I have one more closing verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus returns on that day at his second coming, You want God's heart and desire is that you would be sanctified wholly. That means completely, wholly. And it says, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you read the Word of God and look into the mirror and let God continually change you, you know yourself better than I do. You know yourself even better than anyone else, the person sitting beside you. But it's going to take an openness and an honestness within your own heart, who I really am. And as you let the mirror speak to you, you will, it says the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. He'll completely, and you'll have the glory of the Lord resting upon you. You'll be changed from glory to glory. It's more of an exciting life than this world has to offer. Anything this world has to offer is nothing compared to the glory of the Lord that He wants you to obtain. You know, as we the last message I had, I talked about all those men who, when they saw the glory of the Lord, they fell at His feet as dead men. You know, you want to obtain glory. You see a Christian that is vibrant and on fire for the Lord. That's a glorious thing versus a person who's walking after the flesh and revealing the glory of the flesh and all that. It's way more glorious. And so I want to encourage you, obtain the glory of the Lord, walk in sanctification. So thank you for listening, and God bless you all.